afternoon and welcome to the Leadership and Professional Development Podcast with Don Gatewood. And I'm super excited for you all to be with me today. First and foremost, I want to say thank you all so much. This podcast has been a huge success because each and every single one of you have been listening to the episodes. You've been rating me on Apple and Spotify. And if you haven't, please make sure you do. You've been sharing it with your friends. I've seen it online. I've seen the comments, and I just appreciate all of the love. And my goal is to make sure that we keep on bringing that good content. And that's what we're going to actually be doing today. We're going to be having an awesome conversation regarding financial literacy. Specifically, I've been getting some questions from you all and some conversations just about investments. I know there's been a lot that's been going on over the past year, especially even in the cryptocurrency world. There's been a lot of ups and downs and the ideas of what is this investment? How does it affect my money? And I've even saw some people talking about Odell Beckham with his contract and how he got the contract in the cryptocurrency and how people were saying, oh, man, he's not making any money because Bitcoin isn't making what it was before the market crashed and all these types of terms that are sometimes confusing. And so we want to spend a little bit more time talking about that today. So I am super excited that we have a very special guest that's going to answer a lot of amazing questions and bring a lot of clarity to this important topic. And I have Mr. Jamari Norris, who's here with us today. Welcome, Jamari.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, man? Glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Definitely.
Thank you so much. I know, first and foremost, that financial literacy is a very important topic, generally speaking, and I know it's very important for you. So first of all, how did financial literacy become so important for you? When did this start? Were you a teenager? Were you a kid? When did it start?
Well, actually, man, this passion that I have really didn't develop until I was in my 30s, you know, and I think it was just kind of a variety of things that I've experienced as a child, and I started to kind of connect in the dots as I got older. So, you know, being raised by a single mother, raised in poverty, you know, when you're growing up, you don't really realize you're poor until you get older. You know, I thought, you know, grilled cheese and syrup sandwiches for dinner was a delicacy. But yeah, you realize that as you get older, you're like, okay, yeah, I was kind of poor, like, you know, Section 8 government cheese, the whole nine. So when I moved from Michigan and I came down to Jackson, Mississippi to attend Jackson State, I started to realize that there was a difference between the things in the inner city and the suburbs and how things were built, education, roads, the whole nine. And what it boiled down to was just a difference between the haves and the have nots. So it was like, well, what is the differentiating factor between those that have it and those that don't? And that differentiating factor was financial literacy, because you have to have that in order to elevate yourself from a financial standpoint. So really that's what intrigued me. Okay. And I just wanted to learn everything I possibly could because I didn't learn this stuff in school, which I was trying to figure out why. I was like, okay, I'm using this more than I ever would in real life, but I didn't get it, you know, taught to me at school. And of course my parent wasn't, you know, my mom, you know, she did the best she could, but from a financial standpoint, she just didn't have the knowledge that I have now currently.
Right. And there's two things I want to just chime right in and say. First of all, shout out to being from Michigan. Of course, I'm from Michigan to Detroit. Okay. And shout out to grilled cheese sandwiches because, listen, everything you said was true, but from time to time, I still dream about and even make grilled cheese sandwiches to this day.
Oh, yeah. They still go hard.
Shout out to Focus Hope because Focus Hope was where we got our cheese from in Detroit, Michigan that I use to make my grilled cheese. Okay. With that being said, I want to just spend a couple of moments though, if you could walk the audience through your professional journey, your education journey. How did you get to this point where you are today?
Absolutely. So, you know, upon graduating college, you know, I got my degree in business management and marketing, but always had the entrepreneur bug. Been an entrepreneur since I was a kid, selling jewelry, Kool-Aid, candy, you know, the whole nine, whatever I could get my hands on, I was trying to sell it. So, but after graduating college, you know, we had, you know, I had been ingrained that, you know, you go to college to get a good job and, you know, to take care of your family and what have you. So did corporate America and been in corporate America for almost 20 years. But at the same token, you know, I always had a passion for entrepreneurship. So one of the things that I wanted to start doing was speaking, actually. So I linked up with Eric Thomas and his team and got with his program, Game Changers, became a certified public speaker through his program. And through that program, I realized my passion and my niche as far as speaking was financial literacy, because every time I spoke, we always end up on the topic of finances in some form or fashion.
Right.
So from there, became a published author of a book called Healthy Wealth 101. Started speaking to high school students and college students to help them make that transition into adulthood so they wouldn't make the same financial mistakes that a lot of us make. Correct. And then from there, really just took a liking to investing in the stock market, which I started investing in 2017. And from there, that evolved into a coaching program. So I got a couple of hats. So, you know, financial empowerment coach, but at the same time, a stock investing coach as well, and a public speaker and author.
Okay. So all thing amazing, all things dope, just all things everything. That's awesome. Thank you so much for just really prioritizing and focusing in an area that is so important to all of our communities, because oftentimes we do spend a lot of time, as you mentioned, talking about education, which is so important. I mean, education is the foundation to everything, essentially. But the question becomes, what exactly are we being educated about? And while all of the topics that we've learned in school are important, and in many of us use them in various capacities, and sometimes you don't use them as much. But when it comes to that financial literacy piece, it remains a mystery to me as well. Mr. Norris, why is it that something so important like money and balancing and saving and investing, which is something that undoubtedly we all must use in order to be successful, how did the curriculum somehow mysteriously fail to know this, fail to understand it, and therefore not teach it? I still don't get the answer to the question. I don't think anyone knows the answer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I really don't know the answer as well. But what I can tell you is that it's done on purpose.
And now we're getting somewhere.
It's done on purpose. Especially with the Black and Brown community. Because, like I said, you know, the top 10% of the world, you know, have 90% of the wealth.
Correct.
So, and I said this before, you know, a lion will never teach a gazelle how to get away from him.
Correct.
Because if he did, he wouldn't eat.
Correct.
So it's imperative that, okay, we teaching you how to get this education, and we teaching you all this stuff that most of it you're probably never going to use, especially depending on the profession that you go in. But we can't teach you how to get this bread. Like that's you're going to have to learn that on your own. And good luck with trying to figure that out, because a lot of this stuff is kept close to the vest as I've come to learn.
Exactly.
As things that I've researched, and I'm like, why was I never shown this? Like, where has this been? It was like, oh, it's been around for like hundreds of years. But like I said, it's only so much that you could teach. And then at the same time, you know, when it comes to this public school system, it was created to create workers.
Right.
You know, after the agriculture age, and you have the industrial age where you need a lot of factory workers.
Right.
So that's why schools is designed the way that it is, because you go to 1 hour, you sit, you learn, bell rings, go to the next hour, go to lunch, do it all over again, go home. Same thing when you go to work. You go there, you sit there, you work, lunch, get a break, go back to work, go home. Same thing. Absolutely.
And so it sounds like, you know, we're at one of those key moments in the conversation, because we have to accept the fact that it's not being taught, and we have to accept the fact that it's still information that we all must have. Absolutely. And that's why it's important that we do have resources available, conversations like the one we have today. And more importantly, when I talk about resources, I mean like what you wrote. You are an author. You talked about it earlier. You mentioned it, but I want to just bring that back up again. Can you talk a little bit more about the book, the name of it, and exactly what's inside of the book?
Absolutely. So I entitled the book Healthy Wealth 101 because I feel that, you know, when you think about somebody's health, it's the small things that you do that amount to the big results.
Okay.
So, and whether that's just, you know, exercising daily or, you know, eating the right foods or, you know, taking a walk, it ain't the lottery stuff. So I named it Healthy Wealth 101 because it's the series of small habits from such topics as in the book, understanding assets and liabilities.
Okay.
You know, understanding how to budget and manage your money, understanding how to build credit and leverage that credit, understanding entrepreneurship, real estate investing, and of course, stock investing.
Absolutely. And what's really important is that the way you just outlined those chapters, it starts with foundational steps that people need to make. There is an order that a person should consider in terms of their debt, paying debt off, savings, investing. And then once all of those things are stabilized and are in order and those priorities are in place, then we can really start thinking about opportunities to really grow our money with interest rates by the way of mutual funds, stocks, and et cetera. And that's what we're going to spend a bulk of our conversation talking about today, the conversation, the stocks. And we want to make sure that people have the basic information to move forward intelligibly about what this option is and how might it benefit me, not just me today, but my family, my legacy, and the future generation. So the first question I want to start out with is, what exactly are the benefits to investing in stocks?
All right. So the benefits are of investing in stocks is that you can grow your money at a much faster rate than pretty much any other investment. So like, think about it like this. You have most people are either going to either put their money in the bank or they may have it in a 401k with their job. Now, the bank is going to give you 0.1%, which is nothing, right? That's pennies.
Pennies.
Even though they're loaning your money out seven times per dollar that you put in, but they're giving you the crumbs under the table. Now, with your 401k, which if that's the only avenue that you have, by all means, definitely take it. But when you understand the difference between the 401k and investing in individual stocks, you'll realize that you can get a much higher rate of return on your money. And you may want to consider, you know, taking that money and investing it yourself.
Absolutely. And 401k is a very popular option for a lot of us who have, you know, 9-to-5s or various positions, salary positions. Many companies offer a benefit, which is the 401k, the retirement. Or if you're in the nonprofit sector, it may be called the 403b. Oftentimes the nonprofits have a 403b, which is the same as a 401k. It's just for the nonprofit world. And then in some cases, if you're working in education, like a teacher or the education institution, they have a different name for it as well. But ultimately, what all of them have in common is that they're a tool for you to invest your money, make interest, so that when you get to that retirement age, you have accrued money over 30, 40 years whenever you retire so that you can live off of that. Now, the thing about the 401k and the 503b that we just talked about is some of those options do look a lot more attractive. For example, some companies not only do the match, some companies don't do the match. In fact, I believe I've had a position where they offered the 401k, but they did not do a match. And then I've worked at a company where they offered a match, 6% match, 5%. And then I've had friends who work in the pharmaceutical their company matches even more because their industry makes so much money.
Correct.
They
correct.
Offer much bigger incentive. And so it is important to be aware of your options. So if your company offers these options, it's important to know what they are, what the matches are, because the more information that you know, the more information you have to make the best decisions for you and your family and your future.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Absolutely. So now in terms of, so now, you know, what we're saying is, you know, stocks is a very viable option that people definitely need to consider, because there's a chance for you to make a large amount of interest rates. But my next question is for a person who is heard the, you know, S&P 500 and heard the stocks, but it remains elusive. Like, what is this? And they crash all the time and people losing their money. They jumping off of buildings. So what are the steps that a person should take to even learn about stocks?
Absolutely. I would start with first, as a consumer, look at the products that you consume on a daily basis. Like, let's start there, because you've pretty much done half the research. So if you own Apple products, you got a MacBook, iPhone, then look at the company Apple, because you already know how they make money. You're a consumer of the product. You know what they do. Now it's just a matter of, you know, going online and just, you know, seeing what the stock price is worth and just doing a little bit of research. But start with stuff that you already use. If you got Dawn dish soap in your house, then look up Procter & Gamble. You know, if you're wearing J's, then you need to be looking up Nike. So it was like the stuff that you use every single day, you need to, you know, change your mindset from a consumer to an investor, because, you know, especially as the Black community, we're one of the largest consumer groups there are. But we need to start, you know, switching that mindset so we can have some of that money going towards investing, where we can actually get paid for or start owning these companies that we're actually patronizing. Absolutely. So that's where I would start at.
Right. So it's one thing to enjoy Nike shoes. It's one thing to enjoy, you know, taking flights on Delta Airline to your favorite location. But it's another thing to invest in those companies so that as they are successful and as they grow, you also Absolutely. Benefit through your stocks and the interest rates that come along with it. Absolutely. Right. Now, there are so many different ways for people to invest. There are stockbrokers, there are different financial consultants. And then now in the age that we're in, there's all these apps that people can even download on their phone and do investing as well. So there are no shortages of options that people Correct. Have in order to start their investing. What would you recommend as perhaps one of the safest way to invest, especially for someone who is relatively newer to the world of investing? Of course, after they've done their research, after they got their savings in place, after they have put their foundation, and now they're ready to make that step.
Absolutely. Okay. So it really just depends on a person. So whenever you're investing in stocks, you need a brokerage account. So a brokerage account is nothing but a bank that allows you to invest in stocks. So now you have different types of brokerage accounts. So you have what you call full service brokerage accounts, or you have brokerage accounts that are just like app based. So your app based brokerage accounts are going to be like Robinhood, Webull, and things of that nature. Very easy to use, but not a lot of customer service. So if you want to, you know, actually talk to somebody about your money, then you're probably going to want to go with a full service brokerage account like an E-Trade, a TD Ameritrade, a Scottrade, a Fidelity or Vanguard. We can actually talk to somebody. And then, of course, they all have different types of services and things that they offer. But, you know, from a user just friendly standpoint, the apps are good if you just want to test it out. But once you really start getting serious and really putting some money in there, you're going to want to talk to somebody. So I recommend a full service brokerage account at that. And you can have multiple accounts. Like, I have multiple brokerage accounts as well, because I use them for different things. For some, I use for investing, some I use for trading. So it just depends on you. But I would recommend just starting with something small, and you can just go from there.
Right. And I know most of us who have bank accounts, if you have a checkings or savings, whether it's at Capital One or Bank of America, where you do your regular banking, most of those banking institutions have a relationship with, like how you mentioned, Fidelity and other Oppenheimer. And oftentimes once a week or by schedule, a specialist comes in or can come in by schedule to talk with you specifically about your options and really go into detail about what that might look like for you, assess what your interests are, what you're trying to save for, what your tolerance level is. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more about tolerance level. But yeah, and of course, like you say, for smaller investments, a person who's just getting into the market and they find out about one of the apps on the phone, that may be a good place to just play around with a little bit of money to see how it works, to watch how the percentages go up and down. But as you say, when you're talking about bigger investments, larger amounts of money, long term, having someone who's more of a expert in the area can definitely be beneficial. And I strongly recommend that there is some type of consulting that you have before making large types of investments.
Absolutely.
So now you talked about, well, I talked about Delta in my example, and Delta has been around for quite some time. It's an older company, but then you have some of these smart startup companies that just got started yesterday or a year ago. So when you're trying to decide, hey, who should I invest in? Should I invest in something that's been around, like, you know, Delta, that's been around for 100 years, or should I invest in the brand new startup? What should I do?
Yeah, so I think that you need to definitely diversify, because you got companies, what they call blue chip stocks or Dow companies. Basically, these companies have been around forever. So companies like, you know, Apple, Microsoft, Google, you know, Visa, these companies have been around forever. They probably have a dividend. So those are a little bit less, you know, riskier and a lot less volatile. So they don't dip as much, but at the same time, they still have some nice growth potential.
Okay.
But when it comes to, you know, some of your newer companies, which we like to call, you know, growth or speculative companies, like, you know, your, I guess Square is kind of in there, but you're looking at companies like Neo or like ChargePoint, or I would even put Tesla in there, even though Tesla's been around for a while. But from an electrical vehicle standpoint, since we're still at the beginning of that revolution, I would still, you know, put that at you know, as a newer company based on the growth potential that it has. So I would definitely diversify with a little bit of old and a little bit of new. But at the end of the day, you still want to invest in companies that you know, that you believe in, and that have a good, successful track record.
Absolutely. So now we have a person who is, you know, they've got their foundation together, they are stabilized, they've done their education, they understand the stock market more, and they're at that point where they feel comfortable with making an investment. So the next question is, but how much should I invest in a stock? I mean, after all, I do have my bills. I do have car note, house note. I do have a savings account. I am helping, you know, build an account for my child who'll be graduating in 15 years. And I want him or her to have her college fund. So with what's left, I mean, how much of my money should I be investing in these stocks?
Good question. So whenever I talk to people, I tell them that it really depends on your financial situation. There's no minimum amount that I would say invest. It's whatever is feasible for your financial situation in your household. Now, just from you know, me personally, I put everything that isn't attached to a bill in the stock market besides my spending money, just because I know that money just sitting around in the bank ain't gonna do no good.
Okay.
I need my money working for me at all times, no matter what it is. So if it's not just, you know, spend money, or it's not on the bill, then it's going in the market, because it's going to do better in there than anywhere else. So like I said, whether you starting off with $100 a month, you know, $1,000 a month, no matter what that is, the main thing is that you remain consistent. So it's just like with the reason why people like 401k so much is because it's out of sight, out of mind. They take that money out your check. You don't see it. It never even hits your bank account. So it's easy because it's pretty much on autopilot. But if you're investing your own money, you got to treat it with the same discipline when you're investing your own money in individual stocks. And whatever that amount is that you're going to do, you need to do it every single month, because that's how you grow your money, especially when you're thinking about compound interest. And you can't interrupt the compound interest, because that's what's going to actually help your money grow at a much faster pace.
Absolutely. And so you said something really interesting to me. You mentioned that, you know, whatever money you have that is not going toward bills or other financial obligations, entertainment, et cetera, you like to put your money in a higher interest account. So stocks is higher interest. As you talked to us earlier, when you put it in the regular checkings, the interest is very, very low. And so what you're looking for, Jamari, is to have a much bigger return, which I can understand that we all want more money. But what I do want to spend a couple of moments talking about is this idea of the stock market going up and down. Okay. Because one of the things about the stock is, yes, in the end, the amount of interest rate that you will end up with will be significantly higher than a checkings or savings. There's no question. It's the gap is so big that it's laughable. Mm-hmm. However, what's also truthful is the fact that the volatility, how it goes up and down, is very different. And that volatility, it scares people. So I want to talk just a little bit more about this whole concept of the stocks going up and down and the stock market crashing. What is this?
Absolutely. So if you've been around, depending on when you were born, you've probably experienced some type of crash, recession. The only Great Depression that we had was in the 1929, 1930s. But if you've been around, I'm an 80s baby, so I remember the dot-com in the 90s. And then, of course, recently in 2008, 2009, we had the housing bubble crash. And then just in 2020, we had the COVID crash. Now, so when you're on the outside looking in and you see that happening, it can scare a lot of people, and they may say, you see that? That's exactly why I'm not investing in the stock market. But I will help you understand that wealth is created at the bottom and not at the top. Wealth is created at the bottom and not at the top. Warren Buffett said it best: when others are greedy, be fearful. And when others are fearful, be greedy. So kind of like now, the market is kind of in the tank right now.
Correct.
I'm telling my clients, I'm looking for buying opportunities. I'm like, yep, buy this right here at this price, buy this at this price, because most of the people are getting scared because they're looking at their portfolio and they down. That's just a part of the game, right? But correct. When you understand that and you can control your emotions, then you understand like, oh, like I can't want to buy something when it gets to this all time high. And then I want to jump in because there's no growth there.
Correct.
You got to understand that. If the company is solid, and I made a video on this, you know, it's the same company. So if you believe in this company at $100 and the price drops to $50 and nothing has changed fundamentally about the company, and that means it's on sale. That's not time to sell. That's time to buy more. So correct. You can average in and build your wealth.
Right. And that's one of the important reasons why speaking to someone who's more familiar and understands the overall essence of stocks and investing is important, because in those conversations, you'll learn that the market, it does go up and down sideways, but ultimately it bounces back up. And when you get a chance to see that it's a part of the game, as you said, it's going to go down, it's going to go up. We're going to have recessions, we're going to have breakthroughs, but it's important to recognize that just because it's going down doesn't mean that it's going to stay down. Mm-hmm. But without that information and that knowledge, it can feel very, very scary.
Correct.
And you talked about something that I wanted to expound on with me. I know we're talking more or less about the traditional stocks, but if I can mention something about the cryptocurrency.
Oh, yeah.
I am investing in cryptocurrency. And everyone knows at this point, if you're watching the news, that the cryptocurrency is on a dip right now. And that's how that whole Odell Beckham conversation has been in front of the news, because people, I think, are misunderstanding how the market works. And they're perceiving that because the market is down in this moment, that somehow he is forever at a loss.
Correct. But
he is at a deficit right now, as anyone is who's investing. But when it goes back up, and it will, and it'll go back much higher than correct. What it ever was, then the money that he's invested, not only will it come back, it will get even higher. But it's a matter of holding. As you talked about before, a lot of people, when they invest and they don't understand, they get afraid because it's down, and then they pour their money out. And then you are at a loss because you've pulled the money out when it was low. But if you kept it in, it's going to go back up and you're going to make more interest. But it is a waiting game. But that's the reason why I wanted to talk a lot about, Jamari, the whole notion of how much do you invest? Because I believe that sometimes what happens is people may put a little bit more in their stocks than maybe they should. Mm-hmm. They may put money that is that they need in a stock, which really should be long term. If you need money next month or in the next 6 months, it shouldn't go into stock because you're going to need it. That's not the money that should go in the stock. What should go in the stock is the money that you plan on keeping in there long term.
Correct.
But I think what happens is people put this money that's meant for short term, they're just going to flip it overnight. And then when it goes down, it's like, oh, let me pull it out. And it's like, oh, man, I lost all this money. And that's not at all the way the process is supposed to work. So that education piece is essential.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You shouldn't be investing unless you're willing to hold for at least 5 years minimum. Right. Like in long-term investors don't look at day-to-day movement because it's pointless.
It's pointless.
It's like trying to lose weight and you get on the scale like every 5 minutes.
Right. That's pointless.
Yeah.
But the point that I was trying to make earlier that I forgot to make, which is, the market is down. And so what did I do? I bought some coins because I'm like, yes, it's down. That means I could get more coins. So when it goes back up, then I will be able to benefit when it goes all the way back up. So when it's down, when it's low, when you're in a recession, that's when people who are in it for the long haul, that's when they do the most investing because they get a bigger bang for their buck.
Absolutely.
Now, so we definitely made it clear about the whole idea of the stock market crashing, though. So I just want to make sure that part is clear, because I think it sounds really ominous. I think that when people say it crashed, it sounds like it's dead. It's dead, like it's gone, like a plane crash. It's disintegrated. But that's not what it means.
Correct. Yeah. A crash is basically the true definition of a stock market crash is when something basically dips, more than 20% in about a month's time. But the thing about a crash is once the time that it took for it to go down is going to be about the same time that it takes to go up. So that's why I call it a crash, because it's quick. Now, a recession is something that lasts, a year or more. So crashes are just corrections of the stock market. It's basically the stock market balancing itself out. When a balloon runs out of air, it fizzles down and it hits the ground, and then you got to put some more air back in it, and then it'll take off again. So it's just really more so a correction. Now, depending on what causes it, now that's a different story. So like I said, in 08, 09, we had the housing bubble collapse. So they were just lending out too much money and the housing market couldn't take it and prices were overvalued. So it had to come down. Like, you can't go up forever. It's like an airplane. Like, we take off, but we gotta land eventually.
Correct.
Same thing with this. So even with the COVID caused it to crash in March of 2020. But eventually, vaccines, prevention, and now they start opening up the world back up. So now it starts to come back up. So It's nothing to be afraid of. That's just a part of the market.
Absolutely. Now, we kind of touched on the whole idea of risky, moderate, or safe. When people invest into the stock market or mutual funds, they are given an option to decide, do we want to be more risky or do we want to be more safe? And if you could please just take some time explaining, like, what are the reasons why a person will want to be more, first of all, what makes it risky versus safe? But then, what are the reasons why a person will want to be in a more risky account versus a safer account?
So when you say like high risk, mid risk, low risk, those are more mutual fund terms. So like when you set up a mutual fund, that's what the financial advisor is going to ask you. And usually, if you're younger, they're probably going to opt in for more of a high risk because you got a lot more time to mitigate those risks and to benefit from the gains of those risks. But if you're older and you're closer to retirement, then you're probably going to do something a little bit lower risk because you don't have time for if something crashes, you may not have the time to to continue working for so many odd years or whatever for it to return. Now, so that's generally a mutual fund term. So when you're investing in stocks, the stock market is only as risky as your lack of education. So it's just like riding a bike or driving a car. You put an 8-year-old behind a wheel of a car, that's risky. But once you learn it and you understand, the traffic and stoplights and turn signals and rearview mirrors and gas and brake, then it's like, okay, I got this. It's on autopilot. So the same thing when it comes to the stock market, it's not a matter of risk. Now, there are some stocks that are more volatile, but like I said, it's all about education because I can get in a stock that you may think is risky, but I can make money and then you can lose money. But that's just based on my level of education, my level of knowledge of knowing the stock and knowing when to get in the stock and knowing when to sell the stock. So it really just depends on the level of education. And like I said, your risk is predetermined by your lack or increased knowledge of the stock market.
And that's why, one of the things that you mentioned earlier was diversification. And so, of course, a person has the ability if you want to buy stock in one particular company, but the benefits to diversifying and investing in more than one company is, as one company may dip, another company may go up, and it's like checks and balances. So the more you get a chance to diversify where your money goes, the better stable you are, even when the market is going through its natural, inevitable ups and downs. And that's why that diversibility of your portfolio, meaning the things that you invest in, is essential. Now, I want to take a couple of moments to chat about interest rates. Like, what type of interest should a person expect? After all, you're putting your money in these accounts and you're doing it because you're trying to make some money in the end. So, what are some realistic interest rates that people can expect from these types of stock investments?
All right, so let me just kind of give you a comparison. Usually with 401k, the average 401k in America is going to give you anywhere between 5 and 8%, all right, on average. Now, of course, you got something that's going to give you a higher rate of return. Just depends on your level of risk in your 401k, right? If you get like 10%, and let's just set that as the benchmark, as I usually do. Set 10% as the benchmark, because if you get 10% in your 401k a year, you're doing fantastic. But when you invest in the stock market, and it depends on the stock, of course, you can get anywhere from 5% to 100%. It just really depends. So, and let me give you some examples. So, Tesla, when Tesla split, it was like 450. It's closer. It's inching back up closer to 1,000. So that's over 100% in less than a year, right? Now, I like to keep it a little bit more realistic and just say about 30 to 35%. Is realistic if you're buying the right companies and you're buying them at the right time and you're buying them consistently, then you should be able to get at least 35% a year.
Wow. So that sounds like a very high amount. 35% sounds a lot higher than 10%. It
Correct.
definitely sounds higher than 5%.
Correct. Or 0.0% in your checking account.
Yeah, 0.0, exactly. So, but that type of, return on your investment, that is a result of strategic decision making, knowledge, and really, as you said, being on top of what's, going on in the market.
That's correct.
And you know, no 2 months, no 2 years are going to exactly be the same. There are
No.
predictions and there are projections, but these are not predetermined numbers. There's all types of things that can occur that can make percentages higher or lower than what was initially anticipated.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, but by by investing in stocks, can you get rich? Can people get rich doing it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, okay. it all depends on your what you determine is rich.
Okay.
You know, if that is, you know, you being able to quit your job and just live off your investments, that may be rich to you. You may say, hey, well, I need at least 10 million.
Right.
Or I need, you know, it really just depends. But yes, you can definitely become wealthy from the stock market.
Right.
And there's so many different ways. And we're just talking about long term investing. But when you get into, you know, trading and options and things of that nature, then you really open up the gamut for a whole lot more.
Right. But it is important. Now, it is true that you can get rich from investing.
Absolutely.
We got to understand, though, a lot of that does depend on how much you're investing to begin with. So if Correct. You are investing $5 a month, you are not going to get rich. Because even if that stock that you got, I mean, became like 300%, you only had five in there. So it is important to understand that the amount that's not only, you know, at what point do you buy in? Do you buy low and then it grows up? That's part of it. But the second part is how much you have in it. And so but we want everybody to be responsible, though. You should not put more into the stock than what you can afford. You should always prioritize what's important with your household, your families, and your regular savings.
Correct.
After you have managed those things, then what you determine is left and what's reasonable for you is how the decision should be made. It is really important, and that's different from household to household. We all have different responsibilities. We all have different house structures, family structures, things that we're paying with our student loans and et cetera. And all of those things, they impact how and where and when you should invest.
Absolutely.
The stock market, it's a luxury. I mean, the truth is, it's almost like, you know, like, I guess, you know, Gucci or whatever. I mean, if, you know, if I go buy like a Gucci belt or something, I mean, technically, I mean, I can get a belt from Walmart. I mean, that would be sufficient, but a Gucci belt would be a higher level, higher quality.
Correct,
but there is no way I should be buying a Gucci belt if I don't even have, you know, socks and underwear. That's just not the right type of priority. And nor should you be buying a stock if you don't have the other foundational things in place. And that's important for me to say. It's one of those very important things.
Yeah, and I'll add to that as well. So even like in my book, that's why I go through, you know, the chapters start with understanding assets and liabilities.
Right.
You know, and budgeting and taking care of that home front. Because, you know, you said something that, you know, investing is a luxury, but we want to get it to the point where it's a normality, where it's a necessity, where it's a part of your, you know, your monthly routine, just like you're paying your light bill. Okay, I got this that I'm putting in the market.
Right.
And I'll tell people, like, the best advice that I can give you as it relates to investing in the stock market is start early.
Right.
Because you can start with a small amount. If you start early enough, because time is always going to be your friend when it comes to investing.
Right.
And
right.
if you start early, it can make a huge difference and really change your whole family tree. And when it comes to, you know, the finances.
Right. And you're absolutely correct. And I should have been more clear. The amount you invest could be the luxury amount. Like, you may not be able to invest $1,000 a month. So that high amount, that's where the luxury comes in. You maybe can't do that, but that doesn't mean you can't do a smaller amount that is commensurate with the financial realities of what you make in your household.
Facts.
And I'm happy that you brought up that book again, because this book is so important and so powerful. I'm going to say this. For three of my listeners, I think that this book, quite frankly, is a must have. I really, really do. And I believe in that so much that if you email me, and you all should have my email, it'll be in the show notes. It's gatewooddon@gmail.com. The first three people who email me saying, I want that book, That's all I need. I want that book, period. Then I'm going to make sure you get the book for free. I will buy the book for you and I will get it sent to you for the first three people who email me and say, I want that book. But for the other folks who don't manage to make that three and have to buy it for themselves, let the people know where they can find the book again.
Man, you can find the book on Amazon. Pretty much all your outlets, but Amazon is always the most popular. And then, of course, you can get it directly from my website at jamarinorris.com. And Healthy
How Bucks do you spell that?
That's J-A-M-A-U-R-Y Norris, like Chuck Norris, N-O-R-R-I-S.com. And you can get that book there as well as a lot of my other services and things of that nature on there as well.
And when you talk about those other services, what are they?
Yeah, so I also speak professionally, and then I also have a stock investing coaching program. So for those who are out there and, you know, they have this money sitting on the side and they have no idea what to do with it, they've been wanting to get in the stock market, definitely reach out to me and we can set up a plan for you and see if that's something that you want to take advantage of. And you can find that on jamarinorris.com, or you can go directly to workwithjaynow.com. That's workwithjaynow.com.
And don't you worry, don't you fret. If you didn't get a chance to write it down, I will make sure all of these links, all of these pathways to reach Mr. Norris, that you will easily have it in the show notes, all of the websites, Facebook, whatever he said, I'll make sure that you have it in the show notes. And thank you so much. But before we end this call today, Mr. Norris, I do want the guests to get to know you a little bit more. And one of the ways that I want the guests to find out about you is through this little game I got called This or That. So gotcha. The way the game goes is really simple. I give you two options and you tell us which one you choose. And you can tell us why you chose it if you choose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Hakeem Olajuwon or Charles Barkley?
I'm gonna go with Barkley.
Why?
Just because he, in his prime, he was very dominant. He was just super aggressive. And I just like that style of play.
Okay.
Not to take anything from McKinnon, because you know he gonna block everything coming. But you know, Charles, he gonna give it to you in the paint. He gonna put that body on you.
Yeah, I think he's legendary for that. I don't think you get any objections to that fact. Okay.
Especially nowadays, he definitely gonna put that body on you.
Oh man, absolutely. Okay, so Houston or Dallas?
That's a good question. Because I've been to both cities. I got friends and family in both cities. I'm gonna go with H-Town.
Why?
Because it's not as busy as Dallas.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And they got some nice restaurants down there.
That's true. I've been to both. I like them both for different reasons. The homes and the homes in Dallas are amazing. They're large and they're not as expensive. I'm like, whoa, I could get this. Let's move on down the house.
Yeah. And no state tax.
Exactly. Okay. Eddie Murphy or Dave Chappelle?
I'm gonna have to go with Dave Chappelle.
Oh Lord, we was on a good roll didn't pick Dave Chappelle.
Now Eddie is the GOAT. Much respect to Eddie. You know what I'm saying? Definitely the GOAT. But I'm only saying Dave Chappelle because I've experienced more of Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
In my lifetime.
That's true. But,
you know what I'm saying? So that's the only reason. Okay. And Dave is definitely a comedic genius. But of course, you can't take nothing from Eddie because it would be no Chappelle without Eddie.
That is true. All right. And I got one final one for you.
What you got? This one will
be super hard. Or maybe not.
Yeah.
Prince or Michael Jackson?
Yeah, that's tough right there. That's tough.
I know.
Ah. I'm going with Mike.
Hey, you get no complaints out of me. I love Prince. I saw him concert once. He was amazing. But Michael Jackson is just on another planet.
Yeah, it's just
off the wall, literally, figuratively. It's crazy.
Correct.
Crazy. Okay, all right. So now I know that for me, I work out, like, all this work that we're doing, talking about the stocks, the bonds, investing, all that is good. But sometimes for me, it's so important that I work out to just get myself mentally focused and together. And playlists are just a must for me. And, you know, I just want to, you know, let you all know that what I currently have added to my playlist, on my playlist, some songs that I recently added was a song called Good Vibes by Aya the Light.
Only me, good vibes, good vibes, good vibes, good vibes. Only me, good vibes, good vibes, good vibes.
And I recently added this other song called Love Nwantiti, and it's a remix by a CK, DJ Yo, and Axel. And then finally, I have added the song called The Flower Blooms by Toki Monster. So, and that song is actually on that soundtrack. What was that show on Netflix where it was like with the people were trying to plan those games and if you lose, you die?
Oh, Squid Games.
Squid Games. Yeah, that song is on the Squid Games. It is a dope track. All right, Mr. Norris, what's some of the songs on your playlist?
Man, so I got on my workout joint, my stuff is kind of like old school hip hop. So I got Mike Jones dropping Give Me 50.
Okay, Mike Jones. All right. Mike Jones.
Got that one on there. I got that new J. Cole on there, 100 mil.
How come a ain't into his prime? Still getting better after all this time. Didn't say that they killers, they lying. Only thing I see him killing is time.
Okay.
That's a dope one there. And I got the Shawty Say by David Banner.
Wow, so I'm gonna definitely have to go download the Mike Jones. I mean, I used to be a huge Mike Jones fan back in the day, but I hadn't thought about him in a while, and so you have inspired me. I'm about to add that to my playlist right now.
All my stuff is like old stuff, you know what I'm saying? Okay. So
okay, but I'm gonna definitely see what's going on with these songs you listening to.
No doubt.
But thank you so much, Mr. Norris. It has been an absolute pleasure. I appreciate you taking the time to explain to us the benefits of stock, kind of debunking some of the myths that's out there, giving people the healthy steps they need to consider in order to make wise investments, and also helping the people understand the impact and the benefit of doing so. So I think our people got the marching orders as to what they should do next, huh?
Correct. I firmly believe that.
And if they have a couple of questions, no doubt, with your book, they can definitely order it and get a few of those questions that you may have to make sure you have all those details you need. And remember, the first three people who email me at gatewooddon@gmail.com, I want that book, period. You get a free copy of this book. You got to have it. You absolutely got to have it. Thank you so much, Mr. Norris. This has been awesome. And you are certainly welcome to come back at any time.
Definitely, man. Appreciate that. Follow me on IG, Facebook, Jamari Norris.
And all right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'll put that in the link too.
It'll be in the link.
Put that out there.
Absolutely. And to all my listeners, thank you all so much for listening. You are amazing. Make sure you share this episode, especially for people you know who have been thinking about the stock. You've heard them talk about it. This is a must listen. This is a must listen. But until next time, you all have a wonderful day. Thank you all so much, and I'll be seeing you next week. Thank you, Mr. Norris.
All right. Peace out.